Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what the hell is going on here? Well, it's been a fairly quiet week, and we've seen some buying action come in, and I'm sure we'll see some selling action come in. I'm sure we'll see a little of both. And right now we're still in this big old sloppy range that we can't seem to break out of. And, you know, we'll eventually the market will break out of the range. Eventually there will be, a buyer coming in. And at the end of the day, okay, we'll see, you know, how it all plays out. And, you know, I think that will work out to the downside. But again, we're not going to predict it. We're going to sit by patiently and wait for the right opportunity to get in, because we're seeing a lot of nasty stuff out there right now. We're seeing a lot of potential problems out there. And when I'm talking about problems, I'm talking about the economy is just in horrible shape. Okay. President Obama can go out there and do his dance all the time and tell us what a great job he has done rebuilding this economy. But he didn't have much to build off of. And again, this is not Obama by himself. So I'm not picking on him or what he did. I'm just saying that anybody would have been able to do what he did, which is really nothing. Okay. Now, he talks a good game. He talks like he changed the entire world. But what he really did is he got us just into a lot more problems. And again, he's not alone here. So let's not just pick on him. We can pick on everybody in Congress and the Senate. And, you know, they're all equally to blame. Okay. That is what we have as a certainty. Okay. But the bigger problem is what's ahead. Okay. We've got the election coming up in a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks here now. And we've got dead people and illegal immigrants are being registered to vote all over America. Okay. Now, I mean, that sounds like Chicago back in the day. Okay. You know, stuff the ballot box. But I mean, are we really going to go into this election? I mean, this is probably one of the dirtiest, sleaziest elections in history. Okay. And your two candidates have their flaws, obviously. And the question you have to ask yourself is, you know, which flawed candidate would you rather have? Okay. And of course, you guys know who I support. I don't have to say it. But I do support the Donald. I believe, and I may be totally wrong, I don't know why he'd want to run for this job. Okay. So it's either to satisfy his ego or he really believes that he can make a difference. I think, and I believe that, that he is a, guy that really wants to do the right thing. I think that he wants to affect change. Okay. I believe that he really wants to try to make America, in his words, great again. Okay. I think he is the anti-party, which is obvious and evident. I believe that he's, you know, genuinely concerned about the country. Okay. That's my opinion there. And, you know, I could be wrong. I mean, you know, again, wanting to be the president and going in like you look like you're 20 and come out like you're 100 is obviously a tough job. But what do we know for a fact? Okay. We know for a fact that we don't have good jobs growth, right? Okay. I mean, and we don't have good, and the trend is not our friend. Okay. We don't have good jobs growth, and the trend is not our friend. which becomes a bigger problem because there is not really a lot of hope in the future for jobs. Now, again, that doesn't mean it won't change, and hopefully it will, but I haven't seen a game plan that shows me that there's a change forthcoming. So that, to me, lends me to be a little bit more concerned as well, because if I don't see a plan forthcoming, then where is it going to change, and where are we going to get better at? Okay, and you know, at the end of the day, okay, it becomes a bigger problem. Okay, because we need to have the opportunity to move on and become more stable and show the opportunity that there is some potential growth coming up. And because we don't see it, I mean, that could create, you know, a collapse. I mean, I believe we all can understand that we are in an asset bubble. Okay. I believe that we are looking at some major problems down the road. And until those problems, you know, I guess it's the old sign, right? Until you admit you have a problem, you don't know that there's a problem. Okay. And the admission of problems is the first step in being able to solve that problem. But, you know, when we continue to allow these asset bubbles to be built, okay, on really nothing, and that really becomes the bigger problem. We're seeing, you know, basically air pockets of money flow in, but where's that money coming from? You know, we've talked about, you know, debt. We talk about jobs. We talk about housing. I mean, where is things really going from here? Okay. You know, I mean, if you look at, and you talk about Deutsche Bank, okay, you know, they have not been able to make a settlement yet, which means that they'll probably have to dilute their stock to raise capital. You know, what does that do to their shareholders? So there's so many things that are ugly about the economy that it's going to be very challenging to try to move out without, at a certain point, you reach the level of no return. At a certain point, you reach the probability of a major collapse, okay? And that becomes the bigger deal, okay, when you can't get out, and the only way to get out is to let everything fall, okay? And this is a bigger problem, okay, at the end of the day. And that's what I think we see coming forward, is the inability to work our way out of this problem, because we don't have the right leaders that are willing to say, hey, we need to lead our way out of this problem instead of continuing to stay in the problem. And that becomes the bigger problem. And if we don't do something, then we're going to have issues for quite a while. I mean, even if we were to come out of it now, there would be issues for quite a while, because, again, we have a big problem in the job world, because not because there's maybe not enough jobs, but the qualification of those jobs and the people that are looking for those jobs. See, when you have jobs that are available, but not people qualified to fill them, it really doesn't matter how many jobs there are. And that, I think, is a issue that, again, has to be addressed. This is why I was so upset about the way the energy and the coal miners were shut down, just because, you know, give them a chance to get out and move on. But we got more. We'll talk about more of this when we come back from the break. Make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, because I've always got some good information for you. Make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com as we get ready to do our last classes of the year. Check them out. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And on this Yom Kippur Wednesday. Happy New Year to my friends who will be listening to this on another day. But so we were talking a little bit about jobs. And of course, again, there is a lot of jobs available, but the jobs that are available, the people that need the jobs are not qualified for them. So what does that mean? It means that there's a problem. That's why the economy is not growing, because our president decided that we needed to get rid of some industries because they didn't donate enough to his campaign. Notice that big oil has not been knocked out of the box because they're big donators. They're like the Mr. Warren Buffett, who is, in my opinion, making a mockery of himself and of the entire system with every word that he speaks. Now, again, I don't take away his intelligence and how smart he is and what a great investor he was. However, I do say that, you know, through it all, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, and it's really nauseating to listen to that guy speak, because he's a liar. Okay, it's out and out. And if I saw him, I would tell him face to face, "You're a liar." Why? Because he's going through and ripping Donald Trump for what he does. Yet Mr. Buffett does the same thing. Okay, Mr. Buffett takes advantage. They're not loopholes. They are the tax code. And every billionaire, one of the reasons they got to the billionaire status is because they were able to figure out the tax code and know how they can best take advantage of the system. And the way the code is written today, nobody should have a problem with that, because it's not breaking the law. It's not against the law. It is perfectly within it. So Donald Trump is doing what Warren Buffett does all the time. But Warren Buffett takes it to another level, okay, which nobody ever talks about. You know, everybody kisses his ass like he's God, when, first of all, we're all just people, okay? And, you know, but everybody, you know, drools over him like he's a genius, and he's not, okay? He does everything that everybody else does, but he goes one step farther. He is very much in tune with many of the people from Hollywood, okay? And this is another thing that's pretty freaking irritating from my standpoint when I see things that go on. Why? Because you've got people in Hollywood that make these big, big speeches and all the bull. And at the end of the day, okay, what really pisses me off is that they have set themselves up into these like shell corporations, and their monies go through their companies because the companies get a better write-off. Okay, and they take, you know, a minimal salary in which they pay normal taxes on, and then they are able to finagle out the rest. Okay, now, again, as long as that's the law, I don't have a problem with it. But don't come out and come to me with your bullshit and give me the big speech on how good you are and how we should be doing more. You know, it's a problem because, again, they give us the feeling of like they're doing something for us, but they're not. Okay, they're just taking advantage of the system because they can. And again, I don't fault anybody for that part. I mean, as long as it's within the law, what do I care? Okay, I give you credit for figuring it out. Okay, but don't come out and give me the speech. Don't tell me that Donald Trump is a bad guy because he didn't pay taxes for 10 years. Don't give me the speech that he didn't give to the military and all these other places. You know, and you know I love the military. So, again, but, you know, that's what the taxes are about, okay? And, you know, if Warren Buffett wants to pay more taxes, write a check. Don't give me the explanation. Just step up, write a check, and forget about it. But instead, he is taking advantage of all the possible tax breaks he can get so that, you know, he inverted his companies when he said we shouldn't do that. And he's backing Hillary because he can buy her. Okay. You know, I mean, these guys must think that we're idiots. Okay. That we don't think that they're going to buy Hillary Clinton. Okay. Now, again, I don't have a problem with what he does from a standpoint that, hey, you know, look, if you know how to beat the taxes, go for it. If you can get a politician in your pocket, which he has Hillary Clinton in his pocket, go for it. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. What I'm saying is don't make yourself out to be some great guy when you're just a piece of crap like everybody else. Okay. When you're just able to better utilize the system to your benefit. Okay. I mean, let's just be honest. Let's call it what it is. Okay. You're Mr. Buffett. You're a crook. Just as if Donald Trump is a crook, so are you. Okay. That's all. I mean, you know, all you guys that think that, you know, we can't figure out what you're doing. You know, why do you think George Soros and Warren Buffett and those guys donate so much money, usually to both parties? Okay. But then in this case, Hillary Clinton, because she's in their pocket. Because she's not going to do what she's saying now. She's going to make all the laws for them, because they're the ones that are basically paying her off to do it. Now, this has been going on for years, so I'm not going to say it's Hillary Clinton. This has been going on forever, okay? You know, politicians are bought, okay? They're bought and paid for. And that's what they do. They raise their money so that they take care of their special interests. So, you know, don't give me the dance and the song about, you know, how good you are and what you're trying to do. Just call it what it is. You're taking advantage of it and you're able to buy the politicians. You know, Donald Trump just says, hey, I'm doing what I do. Okay. You don't like it? Well, I'm not breaking the law. It was the same thing with his bankruptcies. My one point out of all this is I do not believe that Trump has an agenda. Okay. I believe he just wants to be the president. I think he wants to be an effect change. So that's what I think. And I'm tired of all these guys. I'm tired of the Republican Party, who should, as far as I'm concerned, be disbanded. I mean, I hope that they get it stuck right up their ringers. I mean, I'd love to see it where Trump wins and the other guys get beat. Well, obviously, that won't happen. But I mean, this is ridiculous. This is what we've come down to. 2-year-old stuff. OK, you know, it's a bunch of 2-year-olds in a room. I'm going to take my bat and ball and go home because I didn't get my way. And you know how ridiculous this is. OK, and I do think that the markets are a little bit starting to pick up on this as well, that there is problems. I think, you know, we saw yesterday on a slow day, but a pretty good down move with a nice rally at the end of the day, but a pretty good down move. And you know, today is also very quiet. You know, it is a Jewish holiday. So it's going to be quiet. But, you know, at the end of it, I think the markets are starting to tip it off. And I think they're getting frustrated. I think the bond markets are now starting to say, screw this. You guys are nuts. You're wrong. And we continue to see new lows because, you know, we've been watching, you know, here on the show, we've been tracking for you, you know, bonds and the interest rates. And, you know, bond futures go up, interest rates go down, bond futures go down, interest rates go up. So, you know, as we talked, the last time we brought them up, the 10-year was at about 160. Now it's 176. And the 30 was like 220. It's now 250. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot, but they're starting to push them up. And I think they're going to create a major problem for the Fed because the Fed's really stuck. And if the bond market says screw you, which is it looks like that's what they're saying, then they're going to see some major, major issues. Now, you know, at the end of it, you know, it's going to happen. Okay. Again, this is not me saying maybe, but it's also not me predicting the end of the world. This is me saying, hey, markets are what they are. They're a little bit over frothy. You know, yesterday morning I was on Varney and we were talking about Apple. I said, look, Apple's a good company. I mean, I don't like their model anymore, but, you know, they're a little bit overvalued now. And of course, they were at 118 and they closed at 116. Again, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm saying to you, hey, we're getting it at spots, you know, in oil, ridiculous. I mean, oil has no business being up here. You know, and the levels that we see are levels that we want to try to take advantage of when we have the opportunity to do so. But, you know, you have to be ready and willing to say, okay, this is what I see. You can't be one of these sheep that's going to follow the herd. And then you can get stuck because you're going to see we're going to have sell-offs and there's going to be rallies, but the rallies are not going to meet and they're going to start to fail. And that's what we want to watch for. We want to start to see some consistent, what we call lower highs as we go. That will be a bigger clue. And when we come back from the break, I will give you a level in the S&P to watch, which will be a crucial level in my opinion. This is Bubba, the Bubba Show. And make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download this show every day. I need to get to 300,000. We're at 262 with your help. Go to BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. We got our last hedging class of the year starting this Saturday. And I'm telling you, you should be there. But if not, no big deal. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I don't need baggy clothes or rings.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Welcome back, Cotter. Where's Horseshack? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Anyways, welcome back. And I did promise that when I came back in the break, I would give you a good level in the S&P to watch. This is the SPX, the cash market. Okay. Today's key level, believe it or not, is 2132, which was the low of yesterday. The low was 2128. 2132 is a number to watch. But the overall big number to watch is 2090. I'm sounding like an airplane. 2090 is the key to watch. If we break through there, we're probably going to start. That'll probably be the start of the correction, the long-awaited correction. But that is the key. But again, I do not expect it to go straight down. What I do expect is to see the markets sell off. I expect to see rallies, and I expect to see the rallies fail at making new highs, which would then allow the markets to start to see some selling pressure. I think there is a lot of pent-up energy in this market, and there's a lot of sellers waiting to move, and there's a lot of people stuck on margin. So at the end of the day, we could start to see some of this start to take fruit. Now, again, I'm not predicting it's going to happen. I think the things to watch for, and this is something I should have reminded you yesterday, but on Monday, even though the market was up big, the VIX index was also up a little bit. But for it to be up at all in that kind of market was kind of a telling story. Remember, falling market, falling volatility, market's probably going to rally. Rising market, rising volatility, market's probably going to sell off. Okay, so you keep those in mind, and you keep those in your back pocket to tie them in with some of the regular levels in the market, because that'll give you a better handle and a better clue of what's going to happen next. Okay. And, you know, when we look at these markets, I mean, some markets are just under so much pressure. It's really interesting to watch. And one of the markets to watch is the British pound. Okay. The British pound is under just extreme duress, making ridiculous lows. And I did a video for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, and I said I thought that 2122 would probably eventually hold it in here, and they actually closed at 121 and change. Now, again, to me, that's not a final score, but again, I believe that you're probably now somewhere near a good low. Okay, you know, we've made basically all-time lows here, and they're punishing it. And I look at it as more of a potential, what I would call a revenge trade.
And what I mean by revenge trade, to me, it feels like the Euro Union is sticking it to them and forcing them out of markets and forcing them to make decisions, which is always something interesting, okay, because we see these things happen, you know, typically not to this level, but I find it interesting because I think that is exactly what's happening here. And I think it's interesting because I think they're creating a lot of grief and a lot of havoc in those areas. And I would be very, very surprised if we don't see a rally here sometime soon. And that would be, you know, kind of what I'm looking for, is that area in which it will rally from, okay? Because I think what you're going to find is the markets are probably way overdone. And even if they're going to continue to sell, I think you will find and see a potential dead cat bounce somewhere in there. And that is something that I think is something that you want to, you know, watch and notice as we continue to kind of watch this product disintegrate a little bit, because it is under pressure. But I do believe that the pressure will lift, and I believe that's rather overdone here, in my opinion. Okay, now obviously it's a fairly high risk trade if you were to make it, but it is a trade that I would be looking at, because I believe personally that the Euro Union is in more trouble than Britain, and I think Britain's going to come out of this just fine when it's all said and done. And that is something that I think we need to pay attention to here. You know, there's just a lot of things going on, and one of the big things going on, and this is always one of the problems I have, which is why I complain regularly about the banks, is that we don't always get the straight story, okay? And they, you know, the Deutsche Bank, which is the first, what I say is the first cog in this market that's probably ready to tumble, okay, Deutsche Bank was kind of given a pass through the what they call the bank stress test. And what that means is the regulators, of course, did not do their job correctly, okay? That means is that we're probably looking at something that, you know, has been done more than just there, right? Okay, now again, banks are notorious for being a little bit snarky anyways, okay? So it's more than likely, in my opinion, again, I'm only talking in my opinion. I'm not talking that I know something for facts. But I do believe that we see things that slip by because the regulators are involved as well. Now, I'm still convinced, in my opinion, that somebody from the SEC was involved with Bernie Madoff, because when we look at the picture, there is no way that what happened and what he said he did is possible without somebody recognizing that what he was talking about was really impossible. Okay, so we can always say one thing or another, but at the end of the day, okay, it really says that there has to be people that know what's going on, because no reasonable regulator is going to not see the crooked work of what Bernie Madoff was doing. And that brings up the issue. So when we hear about these bank stress tests, are they accurate? Are they real? And I say probably not. Okay, that's my opinion, because I've seen too much of this crap go on in the world. I've seen too many of these systems fail. And of course, when they fail, okay, who pays for it? We do, of course. You know, God forbid that they should pay for their own mistakes. We get to pay for them. And my problem there and my point there is that, you know, there's always going to be somebody going to slip by. Remember, people are on the take, okay? People like money. And when you get involved with a guy like Bernie Madoff, he needed some help to continue to do what he was doing, okay? And he had to have somebody who gave him a pass. If you remember the movie, if you saw it, The Big Short,
Okay. Those guys were controlling those markets. And it was surprising because they could have put the guys out of business beforehand. Okay. But then the market collapsed and it was too late. But they were manipulating the markets and they almost got away with it. Okay. But again, eventually the truth does come out. Eventually we see something and eventually you get caught. You know, that's one of the problems with greed. Okay. When you get too greedy, okay, people get caught when there's too much greed involved. Okay. When you overextend and you have greed in your heart and you can't control it anymore, that is when you're going to get caught because it becomes too obvious. Now, if Bernie, okay, didn't have somebody with him, I would find it shocking because, again, there is no way on God's green earth that he did not have help getting that through because you cannot trade in the dark pools overnight the kind of volume that he needed to trade to make the kind of returns he was making. And this is where the problems come in. This is where we see the sleeping of the business come in. And this is where you have to have somebody on the inside of the regulators, okay, that is giving you the pass that does not keep you fine-tuned, okay? And that becomes, again, the bigger problem, okay, is when you have somebody on your side who is guarding what you do, you end up creating the mess that we saw. And that is exactly what I believe happened, okay, is they let it go and they let it go. And of course, what happens? Well, the market had to finally collapse. The Ponzi scheme had to fail because Ponzi schemes always fail. Okay, this is not new. This is not something that never happened before. Ponzi schemes fail because greed gets in the way. And at the end of the day, okay, when greed gets in the way, systems fail. And that is always the fallacy. That's the one thing that nobody ever seems to realize is that when you're greedy and greed is in the way, okay, what happens? Well, markets fail because greed cannot win out without help and somebody to allow that greed to last. And so what had to happen is somebody had to let it help them get it through. They did. It happened. And we end up with the mess, of course, that you saw. And here we are again. And I think you're seeing the same thing in the banking industry because it's going on for years and years and years. The banks have not had enough in reserve. Yet we continue to let them operate and create more money. But this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm saying to you that libertytalk.fm is where you can get the show every single day because you got to have it. You want to have it. You need it. You need to have some Bubba every day. Anyways, we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great break, and I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, we're bashing everything. And, you know, let's start. We can continue on our bank bashing barrage. Why? Well, because they deserve it. You know, M-I-C-K-E-Y. Why? Because we like you. Because they deserve it. That's why. Okay? Because now we've got the problem in the old farmland. Okay? Farmers, small farmers are getting devastated. Why? Because the big banks, well, not the big, these aren't the big banks, these are the smaller banks, but the smaller banks get pressured by the big banks, which has then forces liquidation, okay? And what we're seeing now is we're seeing the force of liquidation, okay? Because the regulators are forcing liquidation of cattle at ridiculous numbers. And of course, when the buyers know that there's a forced liquidation, what do you think happens? Well, the buyers know that you're being forced out, so they're not going to buy. They're going to take down their bids, okay, and make them so ridiculous because they know that you are getting pressured from the bank. And when the bank's pressuring you, you're going to be forced to make a decision. And unfortunately, banks are never right. They are always wrong. They're always selling at the bottom, okay, or forcing out at the top, because that's what they do. Because what they look at is they go, uh-oh, we're in trouble. You got too much money at stake, whatever. Okay, so they're sticking it to you. And, you know, that's playing with the entire economy, okay? We are related, okay? With everything is kind of related, okay? And asset classes, although, you know, grains and beef are not, you know, equities, but people do trade them. They are products, but they are affected by what's going on in the world. And the farmers that are getting hurt by it and the producers are getting hurt by it, they are your customers at one of your, at your retail location or whatever. Okay. So, you know, you can think what you want of what it means, but what it means is you're going to make less money because you're not going to have those customers coming in to buy because they don't have the money. So the Caterpillars of the world, the John Deere's of the world, the clothing stores of the world, why do you think retail sales are down? Well, they're down because we have a bunch of banks that are forcing people out of their equity, okay? And if you force people out, they don't have any money. What are they going to buy with? Their good looks, okay? You know, that is the issue, okay? And I know it sounds simple, but it is that simple, okay? Again, it is that simple, okay? Economics is very simple. Only the mutts that we have to deal with make it challenging, okay? The theories and the process are simple, okay? And we choose to make, not me, but they choose to make them difficult. Now, why? Well, because if they make it easy, then everybody can understand it, okay? If they make it challenging, then you got to depend on them. So they've created the job, and they've also created job security, okay? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm damn sick of it myself, okay? Because to me, they're worthless. To me, they're not helping you. They're not helping me. And at the end of the day, we're all in it, you know, for ourselves, right? We all need to make a living. We all want to be successful. But it's hard to be successful when you've got too much intervention on what you can and cannot do. And that becomes an overall bigger problem. That becomes something that we need to rectify and get on the right straight and narrow. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck. Okay? And that is, you know, parts of the problems that we're seeing develop here. Okay? Now, of course, we continue to hear, you know, talk about what the Fed may or may not do. And, you know, of course, I heard yesterday on, I did after the bell, but I heard, you know, the show before with Liz Claman, she talked about, well, the Fed funds are now indicating a 70% chance of a raise. Well, you know, again, I'm all for the raise. Okay? I'm all for the markets flushing out. I'm all for everything because I think it's better overall. But by real theory, if they're waiting for economic data, which we've been waiting for 8 years, okay, the data is not so good. You know, you had Alcoa's earnings yesterday. They've already said and are guiding worse, okay? So we're going to continue to guide worse, okay, which means they're forecasting worse earnings coming up. And since we're always waiting for the second half, you know, for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, the second half recovery, but it's funny, the second half recovery is kind of like tomorrow. It never comes because it's always tomorrow. It's always the second half. It never gets here, okay? And that becomes an overall bigger problem. So you understand, again, I'm not creating a fear syndrome here. What I'm trying to teach you is the reality of when you try to continue to run up. I guess, you know, we can compare it to a poker game, okay? When you continue to try to run a bluff, okay, eventually somebody's going to call your bluff. And I happen to believe that right now the bond market is calling the bluff. And I think the bond market's going to ram them in the potatoes here and really make them, you know, do things that they don't want to do. But I believe that the bonds are going to push them to that level. Okay. And if you don't believe it, just watch what's happening. Okay. The bond market has broken now. Okay. Just to give you a general idea. From when Matt Demeter was on the show a while ago, he said he felt the top of the market was in.
And the top of the bond future was 177. Okay. The bond market is now, and that was in June or July, and that bond market now is at like 164. Okay. So if you want to put that in money terms, that would be $13,000 for every one contract that you traded in the bond market. Okay. Just to give you a perspective. Okay. $13,000 for every one contract. So if you'd have believed in it and said, hey, I'm going to sell a couple of bond futures up here, you'd have picked up, you know, lazy 25 grand. Okay. Now, in that same time period, the Dow, which is basically flat, is basically flat. I mean, that same time period, you'd have lost, if you bought the Dow, you'd have lost about 200. If you'd have bought short the Dow, you'd have made about 200. So you can see how really devastating and how big that move has actually been. And what that's telling you is that the bond traders are getting annoyed with the yield curve. Okay, and that they need to stretch it out, and they're starting to push, and they are going to force, I believe, a decision, and the Fed will be in no position to make any other decision but to raise, because that's what's going to happen here. And all that means, I mean, it's actually, other than if you're heavily invested in equities, if you're heavily invested in equities without being hedged, shame on you, okay? And I mean that sincerely. Again, I'm not... whether I'm selling my program or not, it has no intention of selling what I have, because what I have works. So I don't. If you buy it, great. If you don't buy it, it doesn't matter to me. Okay, but those who do are very happy, and they actually like to see the market selling off. And just to give you a quick example, we have a portfolio that we have since 2010 that had $100,000 started with. Okay, it's now worth, if it was unhedged today, it's worth $240,000. But if it was hedged, it's worth $280,000. So if you're using my hedge, you got a chance to enhance yield, which is one of the things we talk about. But at the end of the day, okay, you should not be overly sized here unless you have some protection to the downside of the market, because the market is going to have a downside. Okay, they are not going to go up forever. Now, eventually, if you just want to hold, okay, then they could come back, and they most likely will, as long as you are in the right stocks. But my point is not to make you nervous and not to tell you that the end of the world is coming. My point is to say, hey, you know, there's things you can do to protect yourselves. There are things you can do to be safe, okay? You know, and if you don't have to be at risk, why would you want to be at risk? That's always my question. It's that simple. It's like everything else like that. It's that simple. Why, if you could cut down your risk, why wouldn't you? Okay, why would you want to have major risk if you don't have to? And that's always something that I find astonishing, that people don't care. But hey, you know what? To all my Jewish friends, Lashana Tova, Happy New Year. It is Yom Kippur, and everybody have a great day. In the meantime, when you miss one of my shows, you go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download the Bubba Show every single day. And you can also get the Sporting Editor, too, which I do with Xander. But for today, that will do it. We will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.